Welcome, listeners, to the third season of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and your podcast host. Tune in and join me as I chat with authors writing cozy and traditional mysteries. You won't find explicit violence, sex, or gore. You will find intricate plots, engaging characters, and brilliant writing. Thanks for listening. Welcome, listeners, to The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. Andrea Johnson joins me in the corner today to chat about her debut legal cozy, Poetic Justice. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Alexia. Pleasure to be here.
Now, Poetic Justice is the first in a new series. So would you tell us about your story?
Sure. The series follows a 25-year-old court stenographer named Victoria Justice, who uses her experiences with the court system and the law to right the wrongs she sees in the courtroom and in her community. Each book involves a trial or some kind of conundrum that, although seemingly unrelated at the outset, provides Victoria the insight needed to solve the murder that follows. The first book, Poetic Justice, actually deals with Victoria encountering her high school nemesis in the courtroom, and soon thereafter, one of the judges in the courthouse is strangled and drowned in one of the bathrooms in the courthouse. So Victoria thinks that her nemesis has something to do with it, but of course, there's a twist and the plot thickens.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yes.
Your book's been described as a cozy thriller. How does it differ from a typical cozy?
Well, I think people have a certain expectation or default when they think about cozies. They usually think about something that is lighthearted, maybe talking cats, tea, and things of that nature. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I didn't want my readers to come in with that super lighthearted, jokey, kooky feeling because they'd be a bit disappointed. Yes, my stories are funny. Yes, it does include a tight-knit community. We do have conversations over tea. I do incorporate some of the tropes like Victoria falling for a law enforcement officer. But the backdrop is the courthouse, and the profession in this particular series is a court stenographer. So we do have a setting and a profession that is a little bit more serious than a typical cozy. So I wanted to just give a sort of a warning to my readers ahead of time that this is going to be a little bit more staunch than you're used to, but you will still get a lot of the homespun values, the clean language, and the moral justification there at the end, as you would with a good old-fashioned cozy.
Now, you worked as a court reporter. So for those of us not familiar with the workings of a trial, can you describe the court reporter's role?
Sure. A court stenographer is basically there to take down the verbatim unfolding of the proceeding. Their job is to take down everything that's said, in case there is an appeal issue or the attorneys need the trial transcript later. They are basically the keepers of the record. So a court stenographer uses what is called shorthand, and many people may be familiar with shorthand from the 50s, but this isn't shorthand on pen and paper. It's shorthand with a stenotype machine, which basically looks very much these days like a computer. It's about the size of a bread box, which is a little bit smaller than a 14-inch screen computer, and it's used in a similar way, but you use the language of shorthand to translate English into shorthand and then back into English again for the transcript.
And what was the most exciting aspect of working as a court reporter?
Well, it definitely is an exciting job because you get to hear everything, and that's one of the reasons I thought it would make a fantastic main character for a cozy series, because not only do you get to hear all of the murders and robberies and things that are nasty and unseemly that happen in the town, you also get a lot of the town's gossip because news reporters come through and they want to hear what's happening and they share a little bit with you, so you'll share a little bit with them. It's very exciting to the point where often you'll hear court reporters say, it's too much excitement. We often turn off our brains when we're in the courtroom and just let the language move through us because it can be basically a reliving of the trial, especially if it's something nasty, that's not necessarily where you want to go every day. So sometimes you have to turn off your brain, but it definitely is exciting.
Now, aside from the cases that you heard about, did your background as a court reporter help when it came to writing crime fiction?
Oh, absolutely. It came in helpful because in this particular series, I set the story in one of the places where I worked. I've worked all over the country as a court stenographer. It's not something that I do currently, but I set it in Delaware because that is one of the places where I worked the longest as a court stenographer. And so I used a lot of my knowledge of the law and legal proceedings to craft the scenarios in the book. The first two books in the series actually start with a trial. And I've actually, should I even say it, fictionalized some trial proceedings that I was in to make them a little bit more interesting, because real court proceedings can sometimes be a little boring at the beginning because it's about a lot of legalese helping the jury understand how they are to play their role in the proceeding. But when you get to the crux of the crime, the criminal telling their story or the attorney telling the story for them, I used a little bit of that as fodder for the first two tales in the series. So hopefully readers will enjoy the taste of fiction meets fact.
Now, a lot of mystery fans are also true crime fans. So can you give us a hint about which cases might have inspired this series? Just a little
hint. I can definitively say this because it's already been put out in a little bit of our marketing for the first book. The first book's trial is loosely based on the 2014 drug lab scandal that happened in Delaware. And if anybody cares to Google it, it's quite an interesting scenario. Basically, the drug lab was found out to be having untoward practices. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away the book, but I'll say this. The way that the crime lab was found out was not through a police raid. It was not through someone stumbling upon someone selling drugs from the drug lab. It was actually because a police officer opened the wrong drug on the stand. He was expecting one thing and opened up another, and that started a scandal that basically has reworked the way Delaware does their crime lab recordings to this day.
So that'll give readers a little bit of a true crime detection to do on their own.
Yes, yes, yes. And they'll see the small correlations between the truth and the book, but I do sort of jump off from that initiating point quite grandly. So they'll enjoy themselves on having something brand new.
Now, you talked about the book being set in Delaware, and place is very important in cozy mysteries. So can you tell us how the Delmarva Peninsula, which of course is where Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia are located, can you tell us about how that area of the country flavors your story?
Oh, yes. Delightful. Thank you for pulling out the Delmarva Peninsula part. That's an aspect that most people don't catch on to, a little nickname that we give the area there. But I chose that area because it is a community in and of itself. You name three states there, Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. But if you talk to the people from that area of the country, they consider it its own microcosm. They're not, you know, the people who live in the Delmarva Peninsula side of Maryland don't really talk too much to the people in Baltimore. It's a different culture. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of dressing. That area, the Delmarva Peninsula, is a farming community. So you'll see that in the book. It's also right on the water between the Chesapeake and Delaware Bays. And then you've got the Atlantic Ocean on the other side there. So you see seafaring a lot in the area. And that's also in the book. So I thought it would be a place that is rich in visual appeal to the audience, as well as some cultural things. For example, in the first book, we talk about a festival called the Post-Election Festival. And that's actually based on a Delmarva Peninsula tradition called Returns Day, where after the general election, there is a big festival with pit beef and crab cakes and fried clams, and people come into the town square of Georgetown, Delaware there, and they celebrate the returns from the political election. And all of the people from the town get together, join in bipartisan love, and celebrate that opportunity for each and every one of us to vote. So you'll see that unique Delmarva tradition in this first book. And I try to plant some of those in every book. We also have a nice one coming up in the second book, but I don't want to give that one away because I'm still tweaking it. Hint, okay. Though, may have to do with the Apple Scrapple Festival.
Now you made me hungry and homesick because I grew up in Southern Maryland. So.
Oh, grand. I did not know that. Excellent. We'll have to talk more when this is over.
So you kind of hinted at this, but what's next after Poetic Justice?
Well, we've got a second book already in process, and that one is going to be more, we're going to bring in a little bit more Victoria's love life. There's going to be a bit of a love triangle going on, and she's going to be dealing with a bomb threat at the courthouse. There's actually going to be a car bomb explosion, and Victoria actually believes that the car bomb was meant for her and her family. So that's what sets her on the road to amateur sleuthing in that second book. I'm also, due to the push from my publisher, looking at starting another amateur sleuth series, and hopefully that one will be based on the White House press corps. So we'll see where that goes.
Very exciting and topical.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And when will Poetic Justice be available?
Poetic Justice will be available September 29, 2020.
So coming up soon?
Coming up soon.
And where will readers be able to buy a copy?
Well, short answer, anywhere books are sold. Long answer would be Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and Polis Books. That's the publisher. That's polisbooks.com.
And where can readers connect with you if they want to maybe know more about court reporting or Delaware or exciting new cozy thrillers?
Well, readers can visit my website at ajthenovelist.com or ajthenovelist.com, depending on how you pronounce it. And they can sign up for my newsletter there. Newsletter recipients will be the first to hear about any contests and giveaways that I have, and those will start in September of 2020 as we release the first book in the Victoria Justice Court Reporter Mystery Series. And I am also doing a writer's workshop intensive with savvy authors called Three Steps to a Killer Cozy, which will also be available in September of 2020. If people are interested, they can go to savvyauthors.com, or if people just want to get in touch with me for a chat, they can send me questions on Goodreads or DM me on Twitter and Instagram. The handle for all of those is Andrea J. Johnson at AJ the Novelist.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for joining me in the corner today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you about the exciting life of court reporters and some delicious Delaware seafood. I really am hungry now.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, your podcast host. Andrea Johnson, the author of the upcoming Poetic Justice, the first in the Victoria Justice Cozy Thriller series, has been my guest today. Until next time, goodbye.
Hey, listeners. I want to say thank you to Deborah Iverson for becoming a patron. If you'd like to be like Deborah and support the podcast and my writing, head over to www.patreon.com/authoralexiagordon. Join for as little as $3 a month and get a shout out on the podcast. Thank you again, Deborah. Thanks, listeners, for joining me for another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating or review wherever you listened. Follow the podcast on social media. I'm on Facebook as The Cozy Corner Podcast and Twitter and Instagram as podcast_cozy. Now you can support me on Patreon. Become a patron for as little as $3 a month and get a shout out on an episode of The Cozy Corner. Support at higher levels gains access to patron-only posts, thank you gifts, and giveaways. Sign up at www.patreon.com/authoralexiagordon. Thank you for your support, and thanks for listening. Until next time, goodbye.